Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Well, my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I mentioned last week that Leanne and I enjoyed a wonderful few days in Frankenmuth, Michigan. That's Leanne's hometown and also one of the founding cities of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Before I headed home at 4:30 a.m. on Friday, the 25th of July. Oh, I was making excellent time in light traffic before suffering a flat tire while westbound on I-70 as I was approaching Effingham. And as I mentioned last Sunday, I spent an anxious 75 plus minutes in fervent prayer until the tow truck arrived and towed my still new Mazda SUV to a dealership in Mattoon, Illinois, where I paid perhaps the highest price in human history for a tire. I then drove to the kennel in Nashville to pick up Rosie, and we arrived home about 4 hours later than I expected when I began the journey in Fort Wayne at 4:30 in the morning. Now I'm going to compare my journey of faith from Fort Wayne to Wine Hill to Paul's description of a journey of faith that includes both justification and sanctification. You will notice that I didn't say from justification to sanctification, because we never leave justification in the rearview mirror. Here's how Paul describes the eternal, life-saving significance of justification in the third chapter of Romans. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forth as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. My friends in Christ Jesus, let's be clear. Justification, which means that God the Father regards all of us as righteous because our Lord Jesus lived a perfect life under the law. That is his active obedience. His innocent death on Calvary's cross, that's his passive obedience. And his resurrection from the dead, which demonstrates our Lord's complete and total victory over sin and death and the power of the devil. That is exclusively the work of the triune God. In other words, we don't contribute one iota. We don't receive any credit at all for our salvation. That's why we all memorized this portion of the small catechism as part of our rite of confirmation. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. And in this Christian church. He daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. And on the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. And how does the Holy Spirit bring us to a saving faith in our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the Holy Spirit brings us to a saving faith through the means of grace, and that is God's word and the sacraments. Now, Paul explained the blessings of holy baptism in last Sunday's epistle reading. He wrote, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." My fellow baptized, redeemed children of God, that last verse, "So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus," prepares us to begin our sanctification journey. Paul explains to us why that is so important in today's epistle reading that also comes from the sixth chapter of Romans. Paul says, "But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You see, sanctification is a lifelong process for Christians to become more Christ-like, to become more mature Christians. Unlike justification, which is completely, totally the work of the triune God, in sanctification, we as the baptized, redeemed children of God cooperate with the Holy Spirit to become our Lord's ambassadors, as Paul encouraged the Christians in Corinth to do. He wrote, "For the love of Christ controls us, because we've concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. My friends in Christ Jesus, we have become the righteousness of God through justification. That is our Lord's perfect life, innocent suffering and death and resurrection. Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is calling us to embrace the duties and responsibilities of sanctification, the lifelong journey of faith to become more Christ-like, to become more mature Christians. Just like my flat tire that Friday, the devil will place adversity along the path. He will employ weapons of mass distraction along with weapons of mass destruction, and that means conflict within our families, conflict within the workplace, conflict within our local parish and within the greater synod, to try to separate us from our faith in Christ Jesus as the Lamb of God who's taken away the sins of the world. I encourage you to cling to the blessings of your salvation by embracing the gifts of God for the people of God right here in our parish. That's God's word in the sacrament of baptism, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Remember what Paul said about our Lord's work during his earthly ministry. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us this time the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. That means that we need to fill up our spiritual tires by hearing God's word on a weekly basis and by frequently partaking of our Lord's true body and blood in the sacrament of the altar to receive the forgiveness of our sins and the sure promise of eternal life. It means that when our sinful human nature brings us into conflict with our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, as we learned last week, we employ strategic empathy to meet our Christian brother or sister precisely where they are in their spiritual struggle, and then reconcile with them by serving as Christ's ambassadors and his agents of mercy. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.